Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. I think that many of us have in our heads a rather sweet picture of Jesus. He is gentle. He is spiritual. He is well-mannered and well-spoken. He is a gentleman. Well, tear that picture off the wall. This morning's gospel is about somebody else. The gospel's Jesus had just come from three momentous experiences. First, he'd been baptized in the river by his cousin John and heard the voice from the clouds saying, "This is my beloved son." Then he had spent 40 days in solitude in the wilderness, hungry, being tempted by the devil, and coming to know who he was and what was expected of him. Finally, he returned home to his mother's house to find that ordinary life continues. There was a wedding in the neighborhood, and he was expected to attend. At the wedding, his mother persuades him into doing his first miracle, making sure the wedding guests do not run out of wine. With those events behind him, and with the greatest feasts of the Jews, the feast of Passover, drawing near, Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem. He is hungry for holiness. Hungry for holiness. He longed to pray in the peaceful temple courts, temple steps that had been sacred to him since childhood. He climbs the steps and goes through the door. And there in the forecourt, he sees people selling cattle, sheep, and doves for the sacrifices and the money changers. Well, it was not like selling lottery tickets. There was good reason for these people to be there. Cattle, sheep, and doves were required, according to Jewish law, to be offered as burnt sacrifices to God. There was power in the blood and in the life of an animal. And if you were a Jew, you needed to have something powerful to offer to God so that your sins could be forgiven. The Passover feast was a pilgrimage. Jews came from miles around, mostly from out of town, bringing their own animals with them over such a long distance would have been out of the question. They needed a place to buy animals in Jerusalem. Otherwise, they couldn't participate in the temple worship. And the temple tax had to be paid. Greek and Roman coins were the coins used for regular business, but the coins were stamped with the heads of Greek gods and Roman emperors, pagan deities, clearly not acceptable coins for God's holy temple. So the selling of animals and the changing of money was a regular practice in the courts of the temple. Generation after generation had done it this way. It was part of the religious institution. But Jesus is furious. He grabs some cords and makes a whip out of them and drives all the animals out of the court, sheep baaing, cattle bellowing, and the animals clamber by the steps. Then he knocks over the tables of the money changers and the coins go spilling everywhere. He yells at the dove sellers, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace. take your merchandise somewhere else. Later, his disciples remembered the quote from Psalm 69, one of the psalms that was surely sung in the temple, "Zeal for your house has consumed me." It was not that the animal sellers and the market money changers were doing anything sinful or wrong. It was that they were doing it in the wrong place. The temple was to be a holy place, space set apart from the ordinary activities of the world, space set apart for worship and prayer and sacrifice. Jesus, who knew God, was zealous for holy space where the tender relationship between God and God's people could grow. Jesus wanted the people to know God as he himself knew God, in an immediate, uncluttered, childlike way. All that buying and selling was a distraction, an interruption to the main purpose of this temple, which was the worship of God. Jesus knows human beings. He knows how we think and feel. He knows how easily distracted we are. He knows that we need both holy space and holy time. If we were Jews at Jesus's time, we would know that we needed holy space to talk with God, to examine our lives before God, to ask God's pardon for our sins, to know the joy of reconciliation and sweet communion with God. That was the purpose of the temple. Jesus wanted to keep holy space holy. In the Christian church, the season of Lent, the 40 days before Easter, is holy time. It is time for us to examine our lives before God, to ask God's pardon for our sins, to know the joy of reconciliation and sweet communion with God. It is a sacred time set apart from the ordinary activities of our lives, time set apart for worship and prayer. When I was young, people talked about giving up things for Lent. You might give up chocolate or give up your favorite television program, not because it was bad for you, but because you wanted to remind yourself this was not ordinary time. This is not life as usual. Our 5 weeks of Lent started with Ash Wednesday and will end Easter Sunday. We're just a little bit over 3 weeks into Lent now. Let me ask you a question. What has kept you from spending time alone with God? If these 3 weeks of Lent were a picture of your soul, what kind of distractions would you find there? Why was it that Jesus was so angry? Because our God's love for us is deep and strong. God yearns for us to give up our heartless, self-defeating ways. God longs for time with us, for sweet communion with each one of us, even when we grow cool and indifferent and distracted. God never stops seeking us. Jesus is passionate about connecting us with God's love in a personal, tender way. That's what he came for. What he wants for us is what we need, holy space and holy time. Amen.